The Auk Bay loading facility will be getting a new boat lift. The Juneau Assembly approved the purchase earlier this week. The self-propelled hydraulic lift with shipping, setup, and training will cost about $530,000. It's paid for by a federal Tiger grant, which requires that purchases be made in the United States. The 45-ton KMI sea lift is made in Bellingham, Washington. CBJ port engineer Gary Gillette says the self-propelled boat lift will be safer for operators, more efficient in handling a variety of vessels, and will put less stress on boat hulls.
This type of lift lifts a boat with a pneumatic tube that runs the full length of the boat, so it exerts even pressure on the hull rather than points like the other. It's much more maneuverable. We plan to use it at the Auk Bay loading facility where space is important, and the other lifts require bars that slide out from underneath it, which essentially take up 6 feet next to the boat that has to be left open. This one can move it in within inches.
Gillette says the lift is the most cost-effective method to lift boats because it does not require expensive infrastructure. There's some welcome news for Southeast Alaska commercial crabbers this week. The red and blue king crab fishery will open this November for the first time in 6 years. Joe Vicnicki has the story.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game announced that crabbing will open at noon on November 1st in several areas of the central and northern panhandle. The fleet will be able to target a guideline harvest level of 201,000 pounds, just above the minimum threshold set in regulation for opening the fishery. Joe Stratman is the department's regional shellfish project leader.
The fishery will be managed in a similar way to the last commercial fishery in 2005. The department will use daily call-ins of logbook data to manage for three of the four management areas.
Crabbing will be open in a limited area in the waters around Juneau for only 24 hours. The other parts of Southeast will be managed in season based on catch estimates. The fishery has not opened since 2005 due to low estimates of harvestable red crab from the department's annual summertime survey in 9 different areas of the central and northern panhandle. Fleet members have argued that the shellfish are more plentiful than the department estimates. In 2009, the department and fishermen began a collaborative effort working together to check the state's survey method. They worked together to catch, tag, and then recatch the crab in several bays on Admiralty Island and near Lynn Canal and Gustavus. According to Stratman, the mark recapture results exceeded those from the regular survey.
In the four areas where the mark recapture project has been completed, those four areas are Pybus Bay, Gambier Bay, St. James Bay, Lynn Sisters area, and Excursion Inlet. For those four areas, marker capture estimates of mature male biomass have been uniformly higher than our catch survey analysis estimates. They range from 150% to 500% of the corresponding catch survey analysis estimate.
The department and fleet plan to continue working on the mark recapture study in several other parts of the panhandle, but for this year, the completed mark recapture results have met an adjustment to Fish and Game's estimates of mature male crab, allowing for a fishery. Industry members are happy to have that chance again. Julianne Curry is the executive director of the Petersburg Vessel Owners Association.
You know, that's a pretty important fishery to this community, but also to the Southeast economy. I think that fishery alone brings in, or used to bring in, about $1 million excess value. So it's really a nice pop before the winter comes, you know, and there's not a lot of fisheries going on. So there's not too many permit holders, and it's not too much crab to be caught. But I think that eventually, over time, we will work to the point where we have a viable fishery every year.
Curry praises the permit holders and fishery managers as well for their work in the new recapture study.
We really owe a big thanks to the department for all their hard work on this issue. If it wasn't for them believing the fishermen when they said that there was more crab out there than the original survey was reporting, then we wouldn't be here right now. So the department's moved very quickly. They've been with us every step of the way, and it's been a really great experience to be able to work alongside them on this project.
The last time the fishery was open in 2005, 58 permit holders landed 210,000 pounds, worth about $1.1 million on the docks. The fleet this fall will likely be seeing some tag crab showing up in their pots, and the department would like that information about where those crab are caught. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
The Coast Guard says a tugboat managed to reattach a tow line to a loose barge carrying tens of thousands of gallons of fuel off of the west coast of Alaska. The 82-foot tug Cynic was able to hook up to the barge yesterday afternoon when winds dropped to about 27 miles an hour. The tug was towing the barge toward its original destination of Port Clarence. Highest wind gust in southeast Alaska, according to the National Weather Service, was 80 miles per hour at Cape Spencer yesterday. It was 79 miles per hour at Port Alexander. Here in Juneau, the highest gust was 71 miles an hour at the airport at about 2:34 yesterday afternoon. Gusts peaked at about 64 at the federal building downtown and 41 in South Douglas. Average sustained wind speed was about 31 miles per hour between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. yesterday in the Juneau area. Meteorologist Jerry Swanson says some trees were knocked over on the back loop, and the GCI building near the airport sustained some roof damage. The State Ferry Fairweather returned to Juneau yesterday after high winds forced it to cancel its trip to Sitka. And the big seas and high winds were even challenging for the 378-foot Coast Guard cutter Sherman, which arrived in Juneau yesterday on its way to the Bering Sea. Rosemary Alexander talked with Captain Joe Hester about the trip from San Diego, where the weather is almost always nice, to here in Alaska.
I've been telling the crew for the last couple of months, we're getting ready to go to Alaska. You need to be ready for Big Man Ocean, because it is serious business up there. And when I got into port and then went to the staff meeting this morning at the district office, I thank the staff for arranging a great shakedown cruise for the new captain. and it was certainly that. The last few hours outside of Chatham Straits were pretty nasty.
More than a dozen members of the crew of 180 are on their first trip to Alaska. And Captain Hester says when they arrived in Juneau, he told them,
congratulations. You've got your first sea story, because our last night out was pretty hairy. We were rolling Sherman. I saw us roll over to 28 degrees a couple times when I was checking the inclinometer. And the EO who was watching down in the engine room said he saw a couple of 30-degree rolls. So we were rolling pretty hard, and the seas took out my stern light for a while and set off some alarms on the boat. So a lot of people getting their blood pumping at 2 in the morning when some of those things happen. And when we pulled in, you know, I was very proud of the ship. It handled well. I was proud of the crew. They performed well. And I tell them in my command philosophy, these are the things I expect. You know, we're going to maintain the ship and ourselves. We're going to be mission ready all the time. That's what we're here. That's what we're paid to do. At the end, I finish with, most important is get some sea stories. Enjoy your tour.
The cutter Sherman will be in Juneau through tomorrow, when we'll have more on the ship and her crew here on Morning Edition. You're listening to KTOO Juneau, and we're also online at ktoonews.org, and you can see a picture of that boat lift that we mentioned earlier in the cast. You can check that out on our new website at ktoonews.org. Forecast.